In Kabul, Afghanistan's capital, one man's picture dominates store windows, lampposts, and government offices. It's not the face of Prime Minister Hamid Karzai, nor that of King Zahir Shah, who's scheduled to return from exile in less than 2 weeks. It's the assassinated guerrilla commander Ahmad Shah Massoud. His army, the Northern Alliance, drove the Taliban out of Kabul last fall with the help of U.S. bombing. Massoud's followers now hold the most powerful positions in Afghanistan's interim government. NPR's John Burnett reports from Kabul there is widespread concern that this group wants to dominate the country.
The gravesite of Ahmad Shah Massoud has become something of a national shrine to some Afghans. He's buried on a barren hilltop overlooking the Panjshir River and the snow-topped Hindu Kush Mountains. It was here where Massoud grew up and where he won his reputation as the Lion of the Panjshir, the legendary Mujahideen commander who fought the Russians. Every day, men make the pilgrimage up the Panjshir Valley, 4 hours north of Kabul, to stand solemnly before the green velvet-covered burial mound and offer prayers. The caretaker of Massoud's gravesite is a former bodyguard, Mohammed Nikim. He lives in the back of an old Russian hospital truck parked permanently nearby. He stays on this lonely promontory, he says, to be close to his beloved commander.
The people of the world, they like the heroes. And Mr. Massoud, he was a great man. He was a pious and religious man. He was in favor of democracy and freedom. And he had all these good qualities. And I just don't have the words to say more about that.
Massoud never lived to see the Northern Alliance victoriously enter Kabul. He was killed just 2 days before September 11th by assassins posing as journalists whose TV camera was packed with explosives. Today, the Northern Alliance serves as the de facto army and police in Kabul. A soldier is asked if they deserve the spoils of this war.
Of course, yes. We fought, and now we are deserved to take the power in Kabul city.
Not surprisingly, clan and blood are behind the power play. The Northern Alliance is composed primarily of Tajiks and Uzbeks from the north who constitute a minority in Afghanistan. The largest ethnic group are Pashtuns, who've ruled the country for hundreds of years. But because the hated Taliban were mainly Pashtun, some Tajiks consider it payback time. In the northern provinces, Tajiks are driving Pashtuns out of whole villages and forcing them to flee to Pakistan. In the capital, the intimidation is more subtle. In the largely Pashtun suburb of Charahi Kambar, an 18-year-old tailor named Obaidallah works on a hem. Tajik people are armed and they humiliate us, he says. If we say something to them, we're afraid they'll shoot us. Currently, Northern Alliance officials serve as defense minister, foreign minister, and interior minister, which controls intelligence and police functions. And all three hail from Massoud's birthplace, the Panjshir Valley. Karzai is a weak figurehead, said a nervous Pashtun businessman in Kabul who asked to remain anonymous. Might makes right in this country, he added, and the Panjshiris are the ones with the guns. The implication of that became chillingly clear last month. The aviation and tourism minister, Abdul Rahman, was stabbed and beaten to death in still confusing circumstances. Karzai himself identified the killers as top security and defense officials within his own administration. They belonged to one of the Northern Alliance's political parties, which reportedly had old scores to settle with Rahman. A month later, still no arrests have been made. The murder was so bold and unnerving that several of Karzai's non-Panjshiri ministers have beefed up their personal security. One cabinet member, who agreed to speak but not on tape, requested protection from British peacekeeping troops. The Panjshiris run the country, said the minister, but 90% of the people in Kabul don't even like Massoud, and they're afraid to say so. Indeed, many Kabulis remember Massoud for his role in the civil war that destroyed much of the city in the early 1990s. Tributes to Ahmad Shah Massoud air daily on Kabul radio. Shopkeepers who do not allow a soldier to tape his picture in their window face rough treatment. And a newspaper that doesn't put his face on the front page is scolded. A crowd gathers in a Kabul suburb to listen to a retired Pashtun army general discuss the Northern Alliance with a journalist. What does he think of the cult of Massoud?
Don't ask us these questions because our mouth is not so open to answer this question.
Later, in the privacy of his house, drinking tea and eating almonds, the general who asked not to be named elaborates.
Massoud is not so important that his pictures must be everywhere. We have other national heroes who are more important than Massoud. After independence, King Amanullah was famous, and other people. Massoud served bravely, but only to his ethnic group, not all of Afghanistan. So we don't want his picture everywhere in the city.
Afghanistan's efforts to construct a new national army, with help from the United States, will test the Northern Alliance's stated commitment to pluralism. Though Afghanistan is composed of more than half a dozen ethnic groups, the defense minister, Mohammad Fahim, a former Massoud commander, has packed his department with Tajiks, mainly Panjshiris. Despite their domination of his defense ministry, Prime Minister Karzai insisted in a recent news conference that the new armed forces will be multi-ethnic.
We don't have a problem of ethnicity the way it's seen in the press. I'm least worried about that. That's one side of Afghanistan that's too strong, the Afghanness of the Afghan people.
If the Northern Alliance attempts to do with the new military what it has done with the defense ministry, that would mean Pashtun soldiers serving under a senior officer corps that is almost entirely Tajik. What would be the consequences of an army of that complexion after the international peacekeeping troops leave? The old Pashtun general smiles ruefully and shakes his head.
A lot of people will be killed and we will have streams of blood.
The term of this interim administration expires in June. Then Aloya Jirga, a traditional grand council, will meet and decide the composition of the next government. This is the real test, says the cabinet minister. We'll make it for these 6 months, but we're more concerned about the future, said the minister. The next government must be truly representative of the entire country. It cannot be another government of the Panjshiris. John Burnett, NPR News, Kabul.